The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. The word of God is forever. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. The word of God is a guide. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God is useful. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word is Christ. Those are some of my favorite passages throughout our Bible about the word of God. And when we take another familiar passage about this, and this verse in particular from Hebrews 4, the 12th verse, it says, for the word of God, I just want to stop right there. For the word of God is. So when you read that, when you hear that, when you try to apply that, what is the writer of Hebrews bringing to us and saying, what is his reference point? The word of God, all that the word of God is and all the ways I just described, forever, a guide, it's useful. And it is Christ himself. Christ is the word to us. He is, as I shared with the children, the living embodiment of the truth that God has revealed to mankind is found in the Christ. And so I just broke down this verse here. The word of God is alive. The word of God is active, sharper than a sword. The word of God penetrates. The word of God divides soul and spirit. The word of God judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. So as we come to this verse today in the current topic that I've been preaching on about hope, heal, and help in the heal segment of this series, which is where we are still at. Sometimes healing involves surgery. Sometimes we have to face a very difficult procedure, and then recovery sometimes after surgery can be very long and very difficult, involves some sort of rehab. Many of you have walked through that in literally many ways. The word of God is to our soul, our spirit, what the surgeon is to our body. Because we all need surgery, and the surgery needs to take place in our heart. Because he's talking here about how the word of God penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Now, I'm going to admit to you that this is going to get deep today, so I hope I can say it in such a way that it still kind of has handles for you that you can pick up and walk out with and think about. And perhaps it'll leave you thinking and hungry to dig a little bit deeper about some of the things that God has laid on my heart that I'm sharing with you. But this particular line in Hebrews 4:12, I can remember in Bible college some long discussion and debate and research about what is he talking about here when he says soul and spirit. So I'm not going to say what I tell you is the way to look at it. I'm going to say this is what God showed me, all right? So penetrates to dividing soul and spirit. This is what the word of God does to us. So let's look at those two words. First of all, soul. Soul is my feelings, desires, affections, my preferences, my priorities. My soul is what I take on. It's what I found my life on, my foundation. It's the core of who I am.
many different ways to describe that. It's kind of an elusive word, and yet it, at some level we get it. My soul is me, the me that matters the most. And so this is what he's talking about here when he says soul. Then he says spirit. Now the distinction there, some people think they are one and the same, and yet right here in Hebrews 4:12, when there is division between the two, that clearly says they are two separate and distinct parts of ourselves, okay? The spirit, separate from the soul, is my eternal self that longs for God and for the things of God that last forever. Now, we don't always seek that out, or we try and fill it with things less than God or in place of God, but that desire within us, that spiritual self that you're born with in the image of God, calls out for relationship with its maker. And we are unable to bridge the gap without Christ coming in. And in Christ, then, we found what we need. So, let's look at it in a different way here. Our natural self, then, is our false self, our sin nature, our old self, the flesh. This fills the soul with what it thinks will satisfy the spirit, but cannot. So in other words, we are presented on a regular basis, and especially with technology and media, and literally in our faces almost all the time, we are inundated with messages and suggestions and ideas and enticements and you know, all to latch on to something that is going to hopefully fill the soul. Now, most of it won't. But nonetheless, the old self, the false self, the sin nature, the flesh, latches onto that stuff because it looks good, it tastes good, it sounds good, it feels good, it gives me a sense of power, it gives me a sense of authority, it gives me a sense of meaning, it helps me to escape, it helps me to hide. It helps me to carve out my own identity. It helps me to isolate myself. It helps me to feel like I belong to a group. There's so many different enticements that the flesh is naturally drawn to, and we are all part of that natural desire to fill the soul with what does not work. That is the condition of mankind. That is the condition of you and I, separated from and apart from any intervention from God through Christ. That's where we're at. And we have to be honest with that and recognize that. So what the sinful self, the sin nature, the false self does, it fills the soul with the wrong stuff. It fills the soul with what doesn't work in the end. Because the spirit, remember, is longing for connection with God, and it's not getting that. Our spiritual self, the true self, the image of God, my eternal self, will never be satisfied or be at peace, be fulfilled until it connects with its maker, the Christ. So we've got the sin nature here, the false self. We have the true self over here, and the soul kind of in the middle, okay? So the soul is grabbing these things and thinking this is going to make it work, and then shoving it over here to the spirit. How's this? No, it didn't work. How's this? No, it doesn't work. And the soul filled up with too much of the sin nature will eventually latch onto the spirit with all this falsehood, with all these things that don't work out very well. So then it goes on further in Hebrews 4:12 to say this cutting between the soul and spirit. So what the word does is it shows you
that what you are trying to fill your life with, what you are looking for, what for satisfaction in, isn't working, and here's why. So that's what it means, I believe, when it says the Word of God cuts between, divides soul and spirit. By cutting away that which is in the soul that is from the flesh, that which is dragging you down, that which truly isn't spiritual, that which isn't eternal, that doesn't last. And I'm not just talking about life after death. I'm talking about eternal qualities now. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 13 eternal qualities. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Are those three things only in heaven? No, they are right here. They are right now if we will access them. So the Spirit wants us to live in faith and hope and love in Christ. The false self looks for everything but that. And the soul is in this war zone in between. And until we embrace Christ as the one that is really going to truly fill our spirit and our soul, we're going to continually be lost in this, like a hamster on the wheel, just spinning around, not getting anywhere. So as the Word of God enters in, as the Word of God goes deep, splitting soul and spirit, going deep enough to look at thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Word reveals our falseness, our insufficiency, our denials and our illusions. Again, the things that don't work. If I lust after money, and having money, as much money as I can, is the drive of my life, is the purpose of my life, is why I get up in the morning. When I am confronted with the truth of the Word of God, and to see how, you know, I cannot serve both God and money, that is the Spirit coming in and cutting between. Cutting away all of that, getting down to the thought and attitude section of my life, of myself. You can go a long way to look the part of believer. You can show up on Sunday and sing and smile and shake hands and laugh and enjoy the fellowship and volunteer at the church. You can do many, many things. You can have people tell you, oh, that man or woman, there's a good example of a godly man or woman, because I always see them at church and they're always smiling and it's all very good. But deep down, you can be struggling with a whole lot of things that never come out in all of that, those surface encounters. And those surface encounters are still good and they matter. But what's really going on underneath the surface in our lives? That's what God wants to work on. God doesn't want to come up with six new ways to make you nicer this week, make you smile more. Not that those are wrong things. What God wants to do is work on you at a very deep level. So the Word of God goes into these things, the thoughts and attitudes. In other words, the why I do what I do. The true motivation of why I get up in the morning, why I go to church, why I pick up my Bible even, why I pray. What are we really getting at? What are we seeking by serving God, praying to God, worshiping God? Are we seeking something for ourselves so people give us nice compliments and make us feel good? Make us feel like I must be somebody because everybody at church says I'm a nice person. That's not why Christ died. To make you feel good about yourself. He died so you can find yourself in Him. Now you will find your real self, your true self, and you will be satisfied and find your purpose and your destiny, your motivation, all of that in Him, but it's not just for you. Do you see that? I just read a letter about how when we reach out to a neighbor, how there's something so godlike in that action. There is something beautiful and powerful in a simple act, really, but all too often not done, of giving of ourselves, whether it's our money, whether it's our time. So how are we doing at those things? Not so we feel good, but so that they are blessed, so that they know that those qualities, faith, hope, and love, are real. Because they see it, because it's got hands, it's got feet, it's really happening. Those are the things that we should attach to our soul. Those are the things that the Spirit is longing for and thrives in. The Word is honest about what's not working, what's in the way, what's holding you back, what's hurting you, and what is destroying you. I sometimes cringe when I hear people in a testimony, and I have to be careful. I can't be judgmental of them, but this isn't my experience, okay? People talk about, the longer I walk with the Lord, the more joyful it gets and how wonderful life is. Okay. Now, that's not to say there isn't joy. That's not to say there isn't great moments of worship and celebration. And yet, when I really open myself up to the Lord and allow the surgeon's knife to come in, the sword of the Spirit in His Word to come in and cut through my soul and spirit and reveal my thoughts and attitudes, it's hard. It hurts. But it's needed. And so once again, I find myself going through the practice of repentance, the practice of prayer, the practice of becoming vulnerable before God and even before others, because I've allowed the Spirit of God and His Word to reveal something deep down in me that I've glossed over, that I've kicked aside, that I've hid, and that I've hidden. And all the while, it's been destroying me potentially if I allow it to. But that is the calling, the voice of God, that is the power of the Word of God, is to not let us there, is to help us to always go deeper. And so it's on the one hand, I certainly praise God for all that He's given to me and the blessings, one of which I shared this morning about to be able to connect with friends yesterday and share, you know, how our lives have been touched and blessed. On the other hand, I know that those same people that I walk with, that I talked with yesterday, have walked some difficult paths and have been honest and open with God in them. When you let the truth cut deep, it hurts, because the soul has been fed by the flesh, cannot feed the Spirit. It will starve it. So if we take that, what the world is throwing at us, what the flesh craves, and then give that to the soul, the Spirit itself is drying up. So the surgeon's knife, God's Spirit, God's Word comes in and cuts away between soul and spirit, getting down to the places that really matters. All right, that was a lot of concept. I get that. I understand. And I hope something there connected with you. But I want to give you an example of how this can work. All right, let's go to the book of Galatians. A familiar passage, especially part of it. I think sometimes we just jump to the fruit and forget what else is there. It's this fruit of the Spirit passage, but it's a lot more than that. It's actually going to 26, not 16. I got that wrong on the slide. Ephesians 5, 13 to 26. So what I want you to do is, I want you to think about, here I am, I'm going under the surgeon's knife in a few weeks to get my foot repaired, my toe. I have to get both feet done, one this year and one next year. And so when they cut me open and put a new joint in my toe, that's you know, not as major surgery as many. It's not an organ of the body, but nonetheless, it's a very deep cutting. So I'm going to know what it is to try and recover and have the pain and, you know, learn to walk again in some regard. So as we think of ourselves
when you open the Bible, in some sense, you are willingly saying, okay, Lord, whatever it is that I need to see, whatever it is that you need to do in me, go ahead. You, brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, let's stop there. The surgeon goes in to fix something or to take something out that doesn't belong there. And so as I read this, hopefully I'm focused on me. I'm not looking at that list of all these evil things and thinking, yeah, those people, you know, out there in the world somewhere, and the guy down the street, or that person at work, or those people I see on TV. Yeah, that's them. All that, you'll go get them, God. That's right. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah, that's right, Lord. You know, those evil people. That ain't it. You're not even on the surgeon's table, if that's the case. And you've got something that needs to be addressed in your life, and you're deflecting it away to everyone else. But when you come to the Word of God and say, okay, Lord, is that me? Now, does every word on that list apply to my life? Hopefully not, but do some? Am I honest? Am I letting the sword cut deeply and saying, Lord, is there a place where there is selfish ambition? Is there a place where there are fits of rage? Is there discord that I'm causing? Is there jealousy that I'm guilty of? Is there envy in my life? And those are the much more subtle things than we usually pull out the, you know, sexual immorality and drunkenness and urges. Yeah, that's right. I'm not into that, God. You can see that. But the same list, there's no like pecking order here. Like, these are the big bad ones and these are the okay ones. The same list with those has these subtle things: jealousy, fits of rage, and envy, and ambition, and dissension, and factions. So I'm allowing God to come in and say, okay, what's there? And then he goes on to give me something better that truly feeds my spirit, what the Spirit craves, the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit and not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So to wrap this up, it is, as Paul lays out so beautifully here, you have the flesh and you have the Spirit both battling for your soul. In Christ, he says, yeah, I see, Paul, that you have given in to the flesh. Let's work on that. I love you and I forgive you. Now let's feed your spirit. Let's let the Spirit be on the throne. Let's let the Spirit dictate what the soul is going to take on, how the soul is going to live, what the soul is going to, you know, found itself upon. Because the best news comes at the rest of this passage from Hebrews 4 that was read this morning. Okay, here's the therefore. This is when you allow Christ to see way inside you and be honest with him and yourself about what's there. Therefore, we have
since we have such a great high priest, the high priest was in the Jewish mind, the person that would go before God once a year on the Day of Atonement to present the sacrifice on behalf of all the people, which is what Jesus did eternally, once and done, okay? So he is the great high priest in that regard, in that sense. The great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. We do not have a high priest who is unable to emphasize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. You can't say to God, "You don't understand, Lord." Yes, he does. And yet, he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with grace and confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is the good news. I can approach God with confidence because I've let him in. He's seen all the junk, and he doesn't reject me. He doesn't hate me. He doesn't toss me aside. He still loves me and says, "Let's work on it and go forward." That's what I hope for you today. That's the healing we can all experience in him when we allow the surgeon of the Word of God and all that the Word of God truly means fully to enter into our lives, our very hearts. Let's pray. Father, I pray that something from your word would go forth in each of our lives this morning, including mine, that we can remember and connect with and to allow you to work deeply in us. Help us to be honest with you and with ourselves and to trust you to love us there. In your name. Amen.